5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, live from the Auction Community Studios. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, and it is our first Big Red Monday of the 2021 season, and it is probably the most satisfying win of the Cliff Kingsbury era.
It was the least likely scenario, let's be honest. So you take the four scenarios. Cardinals win close, Cardinals win by blowout. Tennessee wins close, Tennessee wins by blowout. The most unlikely scenario was the Cardinals go on the road and kick their ass the way they did and win by 25 points.
Yep.
That was the least likely.
Agree.
Now, you might have said, I think the Cardinals will win a close game, or I think the Cardinals will lose a close game. But if anybody was picking a blowout, they were going to take the Titans in a blowout. Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, they're at home, playoff team. Like, there was a lot of reasons to not pick a blowout for Arizona. It was the least likely by far,
yeah.
But that's what we got in week one.
Yep, that's what we got, and what we also got in week one. I mean, there's so many things to talk about with this game. For the next few minutes, we're going to talk about the wide receivers and the way they played. And look, I don't want to minimize him because I don't want to make it seem like we're taking him for granted. So let's spend a couple minutes talking about DeAndre Hopkins and just how...
Is it easy to overlook how good he is?
I think the last time we talked about the receivers, I think we kind of, oh, yeah, by the way, DeAndre Hopkins had two touchdown catches.
Ho-hum.
Let's talk about Christian Kirk because it's a contract year. Let's talk about Rondale Moore because he's the rookie. I don't think we can ho-hum DeAndre Hopkins. Let's not, and no one said that to me. I'm just in my own mind. I'm thinking about the two plays that he made yesterday that stood out. The touchdown catch in the back of the end zone and then the spin move to score his second touchdown. Those were, I'm a freak show, you're not, you can't touch me kind of DeAndre Hopkins plays that he's been doing ever since he got here. And they were both uniquely special in their own way. So
this
guy
would have had 1,500 yards with Skelton and Cobb throwing him the ball. Like, he's just that rare receiver that is so good that Max Hall could have been the call. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter.
Well, you're just playing all the greatest hits from the Cardinals' past, aren't you, when it comes to their quarterback position. Anybody else you want to throw out there? Sean Queen.
Stoney Case.
Stoney Case.
Come on.
Wow, you're going way back machine on that one. Boomer Esiason.
Actually, no, but Boomer Esiason was a good quarterback.
Yeah, Boomer. Yeah, he threw for 500 yards in a game for the
against
Cardinals.
Washington.
DeAndre Hopkins targeted 8 times, had 6 catches, had 83 yards, had 2 touchdowns. The touchdown pass in the back of the end zone, for him to have the physical wherewithal to go up, get the ball, and then look down at his feet to make sure that they were both in as he was coming down was amazing. The spin move, and was it Kevin Byard? Is that the
Kevin Byard,
the cornerback?
Is it Kevin? Byard's the last name.
I think it's Byard. Kevin. I think it's yeah. Kevin, who just got so embarrassingly faked out by the spin move. Hopkins just made him look... But more importantly, and I guess this is kind of a...
They picked on him.
Oh, they sure did.
Oh, they picked on him.
This is kind of a Kyler conversation, too. They were able to move D-Hop around a little bit yesterday. It wasn't
when he caught like a slant pass, I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
It was a slant pass that he caught. I'm like, okay. So what you got to do, you got to move him around. Even the play in the back of the end zone, right? He's coming across. And so... I mean, I like that. Now, he'll line up, you know, on the leftmost spot. Like, A.J. Green had 2 catches, but I think A.J. Green, I think he had a couple of PIs where they were covering A.J. Green.
I think you're right, but I can't remember off the top of my head. It was kind of quiet for him, I thought. He had a big first down catch early in the game, in that one play where his foot was out of bounds.
Oh yeah,
You know, in a game where there was a lot to talk about, a lot of individual players, a lot of units to talk about for the Cardinals, I didn't find there was a ton to talk about with AJ Green. But coming up in a few minutes, we've got a segment dedicated to the newcomers and how they did, so we can kind of save some of our thoughts on AJ Green. But Christian Kirk, this is a contract year for him too, and he's had big moments for the Cardinals, but consistency's been his problem.
Had a game against Tampa Bay a few years ago with 3 touchdowns. Last year, he had a couple of good games with 2 touchdowns. I think there was 1 10-reception game last year. There were some big games for Christian Kirk last year, but consistency's been his issue. How can he be consistently good? He was great yesterday. He was great. I mean, he was – and you pointed it out, man. Kyle Odegaard brought it up, and you know it's. You know, with no Larry Fitzgerald here, it's these guys have their time to shine.
Yeah,
right now.
They do. Let me play this soundbite here from Cliff Kingsbury, and then I'll mention what Kyle Odegaard pointed out. This is Cliff today talking about how to keep Christian Kirk involved beyond the first game.
I'll put that on me for not getting him the ball enough because he's a dynamic playmaker, and I think having AJ here has allowed him to play more in the slot, where I think he can really accentuate his strengths and do what he does best. And so hopefully we can keep that going. But he's had a tremendous career since he's come in the NFL, and I just expect him to continue to get better.
Now on to the Kyle Odegaard tweet about Rondale Moore, the rookie wide receiver out of Purdue. It was pointed out by Pro Football Focus that Moore finished with 4 catches, 68 yards.
This is so great.
He forced 2 missed tackles, gained 64 of his yards after the catch.
Wow. How many yards did he have total?
69.
60. He had 5 yards, and then the rest of his was after the catch.
I'm sorry, 68 yards. He had 68 yards. 64 of the 68 came after the catch. He is right now the leader in the NFL in yards after the catch at 16 per reception so far. Kyle Odegaard, if you're not familiar, we're acquaintances with him. We're professional acquaintances with him. He used to cover the Cardinals for azcardinals.com. He tweeted out this morning, "I know Larry Fitzgerald is an icon, but the Cardinals were hamstrung with him in the slot last year. Now that Rondale Moore and Christian Kirk are there, Cliff Kingsbury's scheme can flourish." And as you said earlier, and you're right, he's not wrong.
He's right.
He's not wrong when he says that. It's not a popular take because Larry Fitzgerald is an icon, as he points out. That's the exact word he uses. But Larry Fitzgerald in the slot
held him back.
Does not have the threat of speed that Rondale Moore and Christian Kirk do.
No. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you are a defender, you know, Larry doesn't have that speed. He doesn't get that separation. He's got great hands and he's got great body control. And so, like, he's a task to guard unto himself, but he's an older player and he's never had the speed. But I think that what Kyle's saying is 100% right. A lot of people may not want to admit it, you know, because there's a feeling that you know, Fitz is still Fitz. Like, you don't want to, like, oh, man, you got to believe that Fitz could help a team win. Sure. I mean, if you added me, but Fitz is your number as your slot guy or Christian Kirk? Fitz is your slot guy or Rondale Moore? I mean, if we've been honest with each other, I mean, I'd rather have the younger guys.
And then once some tape starts getting out there on Rondale Moore and what he's able to do after the catch.
It's out there.
And you mentioned one of your favorite plays from yesterday, and I got to admit it's one of mine too. On that play right after the interception, the 29-yard gain by Rondale Moore, where basically it was a low snap, quick throw from Kyler, just a little wide receiver screen, and phew, he just took off.
Yeah,
he just took
a bat out of hell,
ran by everybody, and it's plays like that. Fitz is one of our all time favorites. Fitz isn't doing that. Fitz isn't doing what Rondale Moore did on that play.
No, he's not. You know when they talk about a car 0 to 60 acceleration?
Yeah, like your
like my Mustang,
like your car that we drove to Cardinals camp in one day.
Right? Remember when I stepped on the gas?
Yeah, where you stepped on the gas and it was like. Rocket ship.
It's like a rocket ship. My car, my Mustang Mach-E is like a rocket ship. I show birds. Okay, watch this. Watch. We're going like 10 miles an hour. I step on the gas. 2 seconds later, we're at like 70. It's like, it's a rocket ship. That's Rondale Moore. You know, Larry.
As Burnsy nervously tugs on the seatbelt to make sure it's properly connected.
Like, just watch how fast this thing goes.
There are airbags on the driver's side in this thing, right?
Yes, there are. But like 0 to 70 in 2 seconds, like it's crazy. You know, Larry's, you know, more like a Yugo, and like the speed.
You were paying all due respect to Larry Fitzgerald right up until that moment where you compared him to a Yugo.
Not a Yugo.
He's not very fast.
He doesn't run fast.
He just doesn't run very fast.
Rondale Moore is 0 to 60, and man, like here's the thing: like if you swing it out to him like that. The coverage, whether it's a slot corner or a linebacker, like if you're not there instantaneously, you're not there.
Right.
Now you're not going to get there. So if you're saying I can get there, no, you can't. Unless you're not lining straight up on him, and you're going to take an angle, you're not going to win.
Right.
X and Y won't cross each other. It's not going to happen.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, Rondale Moore was one of many newcomers that impressed yesterday. We'll talk about the others next here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Cards win 38-13 over the Tennessee Titans. We said it before, say it again, of everything that happened in week one of the NFL, it's got to be in the top five in terms of kind of jaw-dropping, wow, didn't see that coming kind of moments. And there were a bunch around the league yesterday. The Steelers winning on the road in Buffalo was one of them. Jameis Winston's five touchdown passes against the Packers and how bad... we might get into this a little bit more tomorrow, but I'll just bring this up real quick. I saw a stat this morning on the NFL Network. If you just throw the ball into the dirt every single snap, you would have a higher passer rating as a quarterback than Aaron Rodgers did yesterday against the Saints.
That's insane.
He was so bad yesterday. Okay, so there was that.
Cleveland should have beat Kansas City.
Cleveland should have beat Kansas City. They didn't. The Rams looked really, really good yesterday. We'll talk about that. But the Cardinals bludgeoning the Titans the way they did. That is one of the top five, wow, I can't believe that happened kind of things from yesterday. And part of that, obviously, it was Chandler Jones and the five sacks, and it was Kyler Murray and the five total touchdowns, the four he threw, the one he ran. The wide receivers, we've talked about the defense, how dominating they were against Julio and A.J. Brown, and, of course, Derrick Henry. There were newcomers who contributed yesterday, and we knew going into the game that one way or another we were going to talk about the newcomers. We just got done spending a lot of time talking about Rondale Moore and how sensational he looked in his debut. Let's go through some of them, and let's kind of start. Well, let's start with probably the most famous of them all, and that's J.J. Watt in his first game as a member of the Arizona Cardinals. Stat sheet-wise, didn't show up a whole lot. Played about 74% of the snaps, which is right about where they expected. But I thought accounting for him freed up a lot of what Chandler Jones did out there.
I think
there.
His presence was felt. He was in the backfield a few times for sure. I think the numbers will come. We talked about this. You know, I'm not the biggest, sack guy stat. It's a great stat. But there's also quarterback pressures and quarterback hits and tackles for a loss and things like that, forced fumbles, there's other things. In the end, J.J. Watt's going to get sacks here, okay? He's not going to finish with two sacks. He's going to get his sacks. Whether he gets the double digits or not, I don't know. I probably would predict no, but I do think he's going to get, eight or nine or somewhere in there. But the most important thing for him is to, what do you play, 70-something percent of the snaps?
74%.
74% of the snaps. Didn't look like a liability. Went out there. He was in the backfield. He was disruptive. He was definitely in on a couple of tackles. And, I think he showed that, and he didn't have the typical preseason either because he was out for a while. He just came back. So I think he may need a couple extra weeks to just really get into, season conditioning to be able to play.
I'm not worried about the lack of snaps for him. I'm worried about him being a disruptive force on the defensive line and having to be accounted for, and I thought he had to be accounted for yesterday. So I thought he played well. Zaven Collins was a really interesting case scenario. He was only on the field, and by the way, it was 72% for J.J. Watt, not 74. Zaven Collins was on the field for 22 snaps. That was about 34% of the time. And for all of the talk about he's been handed the job, it's going to be him, he's ready for it, just give it to him. For whatever reason, in the moment, it was obvious yesterday that they weren't ready to give him the full Monty in terms of all of the responsibility that comes with being the Mike linebacker in that defense. He was only on the field for 34% of the snaps. They're not quite there yet with him.
It's not what we expected. I mean, we all went into this questioning how many snaps is Jordan Hicks going to play, not how many snaps is Zaven Collins going to play, because all the talk all along had been, Zaven Collins, it's his job, he can't lose it, he's the starter, you can't win the job if you're Jordan Hicks. And all of a sudden, Jordan Hicks plays 95%. I think it tells you what you need to know. Zaven wasn't fully ready to grasp all of that. They wanted to bring him along a little bit more slowly. I think eventually he will have the majority of the snaps. But I also think, based on what Cliff said today, you're going to see a lot of the three linebackers out there.
Yeah. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Already, it might have been a little premature to say you were going to give him all that stuff, but at the end of the day, football rules. And what I mean by that is, at the end of the day, the rules of football were in place here. Hey, you know what? We're going to give ourselves the best chance to win, and Jordan Hicks has given us the best chance to win. And we don't care that Zaven Collins was the 16th pick in the draft. We need to win the football game. And if that means having Jordan Hicks out there 95% of the time, the rules of football still apply. If he gives you the better chance, you play the guy who gives you the better chance. And you don't anoint anybody anything after the draft. You make guys go out there and earn it. And credit to Jordan Hicks for, he's not a newcomer, but credit to Jordan Hicks for not pouting, going out there doing his work. But I think you're right. At the end of the day, eventually it will be Zaven Collins. But credit to the Cardinals for not trying to force a square peg into a round hole by making Zaven Collins the guy and putting themselves at a liability out there. AJ Green, we mentioned him. I thought he was fairly quiet. Didn't really notice him a lot out there.
No.
Rodney Hudson, you showed me some video, and he was just mauling guys 25 yards down the field, right?
It is... You know, it's probably my second favorite play. No, it's my favorite play. I told you it was the last time. It was my favorite play. But there's a play where Rodney Hudson, and I, and this is where he just absolutely dominated, where the ball goes to Rondale Moore, and the Cardinals are at the 25-yard line. They throw the quick screen to Rondale Moore. And you go look down the field, and there's somebody blowing a block at the 35-yard line, and he keeps going. He's 20 yards down the field blowing somebody up. Like, he snaps the ball, and it's just so great to look at this, and I get, you know, I benefit from being able to see this. So he snaps the ball. He immediately takes on a block, and then he releases, and he goes and blows up the safety. Just blows up the safety on the play. It's like, oh, my goodness. He's 20 yards down the field. Rodney Hudson is going to be one of the biggest and best newcomers out of all the guys that they got, for sure.
James Conner, 16 carries for 53 yards. According to Pro Football Focus, more than 85% of the yards that he gained came after contact for James Conner.
Well, yeah, because they were loading the box because the Cardinals were going to run, and everybody knew they were going to run. And they were trying to strip the ball.
Yep.
And trying to get a turnover, trying to get the ball back.
And he was tough and physical. And, man, he got a lot of those fourth quarter carries when they were trying to salt the game away.
Yeah. And if you're Tennessee, you're just trying to strip the ball. You know they're going to run it and use the clock. Cardinals aren't going to pass it. They're not going to have Kyler drop back and throw and risk a sack and an injury. They're handing the ball to James Conner. He held on to the ball.
Marco Wilson, real quick. We've talked about him a lot. He was really good yesterday. He was matched up on Julio Jones quite a bit. Matt Prater missed a field goal. Other than that, he was fine.
He was fine.
In a blowout, you can miss a field goal like that. In a close game, Matt Prater is going to be under the microscope for missing, what was it, a 43-yarder?
Was it 43?
You're going to be under the microscope if you miss those in games that aren't 38-13. So just be prepared for that if you're Matt Prater and you're making a habit out of missing those, because eventually that will be painful to the Cardinals.
That kicker missed one, too.
That was their backup guy, right? Because it was Badgley, because the other one couldn't play.
He missed that one. That was a bad miss for him.
Text the word Red Sea right now to 620-620. Listen for your name tomorrow, 7:35 a.m., 1:35 p.m., and 3:35 with us here on Burns and Gambo, and you could win a pair of tickets to the Arizona Cardinals home opener on Sunday. We've also got a grand prize winner who's going to score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey. Sweet. Text the word Red Sea to 620-620 to get in on that. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Chandler Jones, 5 sacks on the day for 55. Chandler Jones making some money.
Is he making some money? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show. If you missed it on Twitter yesterday, Gambo from the future fired up the flux capacitor, jumped into the DeLorean, went back in time by about, when do they usually announce those awards? Wednesday, I think? Tuesday or Wednesday? Went back in time from the future and told us all that Chandler Jones is going to be named Defensive Player of the Week in the NFC.
So, okay.
Am I sitting next to future Gambo or now Gambo?
Okay, are there predictions that we can... Alabama's going to win a national championship this year.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow, future Gambo.
You got it. No, like, there's probably predictions that we can make that are pretty legitimate.
No, he's hiding a sports almanac under his desk. That's what it is.
I took it from Biff. I stole it from Biff.
Solid.
Punched that sucker right in the nose and I took it from him.
Couple of solid Back to the Future references right there. No, I think you're pretty safe in presuming that a 5-sack, 2 forced fumbles performance, that's probably going to get you
player of the week, defensive player of the week.
Who else is going to get it?
I'm not really sure who else is going to get it after that.
Now, does Kyler get offensive player of the week? Five touchdowns.
I know. So did Jameis Winston, but he didn't have the yards that Kyler did. Matthew Stafford was pretty good, too, but he only had three. But he didn't throw any interceptions, and he completed like 80% of his passes. I don't know. He might. He might. Chandler Jones is going to get it. What I would love to know from Future Gambo, if you could send him a text and ask.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. From Future Gambo.
You want me to text myself?
Yeah, text yourself in the future and then send the message back in time if you could.
Okay.
Love to know what the contractual status of Chandler Jones is going to be after his five-sack performance yesterday. What does Future Gambo have to say about that?
The season comes to an end. I'm looking at a four-year extension.
Wow. Okay.
With about...
which guaranteed money?
$55 million.
$55 million guaranteed on a four-year deal.
4 years. That fourth year will not be too bad in case you want to move off of it.
Yeah. I know you're just teasing. That's the question about Chandler Jones. And in the middle of that five-sack, two-force-fumble dominance yesterday by Chandler, everybody out there on social media in the middle of the game was like, oh, man, the Cardinals screwed this up. They should have paid him. Now they got to pay him. Go pay Chandler Jones. And maybe this story will end with Chandler Jones getting that contract extension from the Arizona Cardinals. But look at it from their perspective for just a second.
Okay.
Okay? And we've done this a couple of times. He's 31 years old. He's coming off a season in which he played five games. And in those five games, he wasn't that effective last year. He only had one sack before he tore the bicep injury and was out for the rest of the season. In the final year of his contract, I can't blame the Cardinals one bit, and I won't blame the Cardinals one bit, for taking a very patient wait-and-see approach with Chandler Jones to see what he was going to look like this year before rushing into contract extension talks. I know it didn't make him happy, and there were reports that he was looking for a trade halfway through the offseason, but from the Cardinals' perspective, I think they played it how they had to play it. Let's wait. We've got you under control. You're making $16.5 million. Let's wait and see what you are and who you are before we start talking contract extension. I think that's prudent and reasonable.
He did a five-year contract extension with $53 million guaranteed last time. So he did a five-year deal for $83 million and has a guarantee of $53 million. That's the deal that he signed with the Cardinals in, where's the year here? Whatever year it was.
2016, 2017?
Yeah, somewhere around there. 2017. 5 years, $83 million, $53 guaranteed. So I think you're probably looking at, would you want to give him 50? I think you're probably looking at something close to that again. 40, 50, especially, here's the risk, right? If you go out and if you cave and, let's give him a contract this week, and then 3 weeks from now he gets hurt. Oh, now you're stuck. You just gave the guy 50. I think you're better off waiting until the end of the year. I think you're better off waiting.
Probably.
You're waiting 16 more, four more weeks. Because he's not an unrestricted free agent. You can franchise tag him.
Right.
He doesn't want to get franchise tagged. You don't really want to use the franchise tag either, because it's one big salary of 20-something million dollars that would be on your salary cap for next year.
Sure.
It would prevent you from doing some other things.
You'd love to spread that out if you possibly could. But if you want to keep him around even somewhat long-term, and you know what's funny? We keep talking about his age. The name that keeps floating around in my head, you were talking about your conversations with Lorenzo Alexander about how 31 years old in today's NFL doesn't mean the same thing that it did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I keep thinking about Calais Campbell. And not that Chandler is going to be Calais Campbell.
Okay.
But I keep thinking about the Cardinals' decision to let Calais walk. Hey, good player, good Cardinal, but we're just not ready to pay him that kind of money. And Calais ended up having very, obviously, productive years with the Ravens and so on and so forth. And I keep thinking about him and wondering if the Cardinals, if Chandler Jones gets to the end of this and he's had a very productive year, would they look at him and say, we made a mistake with Calais, let's not make it again with Chandler Jones. He can still be productive for three more years.
He never produced like that when he was with the Cardinals for 8 or 9 years, the way he did in Jacksonville. He never put up those numbers.
No, he didn't. You're right.
He was not, him in Jacksonville was like, oh my God, yeah. who is this guy?
I said Baltimore, I meant to say Jacksonville. But
he's
yes,
in
you're
Baltimore
right.
Now. Yeah. He's with
he's
the
in
Ravens
Baltimore now.
Now.
Yeah, but yeah. I meant Jacksonville because that's who gave him the money. No, you're right. I mean, Calais was a good player when he was here. He was never a great player when he was here. He went to Jacksonville. He became a great player, a dominant player.
He's 35 years old.
He's 35 years old, and he well earned that contract the Cardinals wouldn't give him when he was approaching his 30s. I think you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Cardinals right now to pay that man his money, and the Cardinals should just continue to be patient.
Sure.
See how this goes.
Why not?
You know, Chandler Jones is clearly motivated by it. His performance obviously hasn't dipped with what's gone on.
It's
and just kind of wait and see how the next couple of months play out before you do anything. There's no harm in it.
No, when you get a guy, that's a special position. It changes everything when you have a dominant player like that. You sign a guy to a four-year deal. I just don't, you know, the four-year deal, it's not like it would start after next year. It would start next year. So you would have him at 32, 33, 34, 35. That's what Calais Campbell is now, 35. The chances of him being productive at 35, it's probably slim as a pass rusher.
No, but you...
He could be situational.
Sure.
You know, more or less by then.
But you structure the deal so that he's cuttable at the end of it, and you're not going to have a lot of dead money on your cap, you know?
Like, yeah.
So you structure the deal so you spread out that money over the 4 years, but you're really only paying him for the two. And then after
Dwight
that,
Freeney was getting sacks towards the end, and John Abraham, there's always those guys, man. Maybe he's just a... And look at his genes. Like, him and his brother?
Sure.
Like, you know, maybe he's just that freak of an athlete that he'll be able to play at a long time at a high level.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the NFC West. It's a good thing the Cardinals went to Tennessee and won, because already they have to keep pace with everybody else in this fantastic division. A quick run through of what happened yesterday, next on the Burns and Gambo show. All right, time for the Vizzy What's On Tonight, brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C. Proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks. They're on tonight, taking on the LA Dodgers. We'll preview that game in a moment. And, of course, Monday Night Football is on tonight, the first Monday night game of the season. The first game from Las Vegas with fans at that stadium. The Allegiant Stadium was brand new this time a year ago, but it was mostly empty. Now it's a full house in Vegas, and it's a scoreless game. 2 minutes to go in the first quarter, the Ravens and the Raiders. Nothing. Those are the two games that are on tonight, if you're so inclined.
Yeah, I mean, this NFL game's interesting. I mean, Lamar Jackson's one of those quarterbacks, too, is going to get paid a lot of money. You know, he was in that draft class, obviously, the Josh Rosen draft class. We've seen some guys get paid. He's going to get paid a lot of money in this league as the Ravens just take a 7-0 lead on a touchdown run.
Oh, okay.
Who was the running back?
Williams.
Williams.
Which?
Just trying to see the
Tyson Williams.
Yeah, that's the young kid that's never had a carry.
Yeah.
He's the kid that's never had a carry going into today. And he's trying to say, yeah, Le'Veon Bell, and who's the other running back that they added?
Devontae Murray,
Freeman.
Right? Or Devontae Freeman, right?
Yeah. I think they added Latavius Murray, too. He said, yeah, no, my time.
We don't need you.
My time.
Gus Edwards
Watch
is out.
Watch me break these four tackles on this touchdown run.
Yeah, that was pretty easy.
That was a great run.
7-0 Ravens. All right, real quick look around the NFC West. What surprised you? What scared you? What jumped out at you? What, when you look at they all won.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised. They all freaking won. This division, I'm trying to find out now what's the most wins that any division ever had.
Like when you combine the four teams?
Yeah. I'm looking it up. And, you know, like the NFC, the best division, the NFC East has been the most successful, 21 championships, 13 Super Bowl victories. I'm trying to see what division had the most wins in a single season. I'd love to know that.
Yeah, that would be a thing to know. Seattle was the team that you thought was going to take a step back. They look pretty good against the Colts with their. Well, no. It's just week one. They still might. It's just that their new offensive coordinator, man, that offense was humming in the first half yesterday against Indianapolis. Kind of slowed down in the second half, but they still, Russell Wilson looked pretty good with Shane Waldron, his new OC. The 49ers looked good for most of the game against the Lions, and then Verrett went out with that injury, their cornerback.
It's a big injury for them.
And they gave up like 23 points in 3 minutes. Just happened real quick. And now between his injury issue and Raheem Mostert now being on the injured list, the 49ers are once again kind of dealing with injuries. But Garoppolo played, Trey Lance played a little bit, and then not shocking at all, At least not to me.
Matthew Stafford
and
the Rams.
Oh, my God, he looks so good.
Cooper Kupp is such a great player, isn't he?
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp.
How
was
he that wide open on that 56-yard touchdown? You know, it's like, almost, come on, cover him.
Well, you thought you had a safety behind you, and you didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, your corner thought he had a safety behind him. He didn't have anybody behind him. He let him go.
Yeah, Stafford played a really good game yesterday.
Well, this was the McVay gamble, right? I'm going to trade these two first-round picks. I'm going to trade Jared Goff because I want the 12-year veteran. This guy can run my offense. So we'll see. We'll find out. I mean, maybe Matthew Stafford can take that. The Super Bowl's in SoFi Stadium this year. A lot of people think the Rams can win the Super Bowl there just like the Bucs did last year. Maybe that's the case. I don't know that. I think the team that looked the best was the Cardinals. I think they looked better than the Rams looked.
I think Cardinals. Yo, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you.
Better than the 49ers. They looked the best to me.
I agree. Because they were on the road and they were playing a good team.
Man, I don't know. Do I give it to Seattle?
I would give it to Seattle.
Seattle, then the Rams, then the 49ers.
Yeah.
Because the 49ers,
it's Detroit. Detroit's not that good.
I know.
They're not that good. All right. Diamondbacks baseball is coming up.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Grilled Cheeseburger for a limited time, only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
Coming off their first series win on the road since April, the Arizona Diamondbacks are in Los Angeles taking on the Dodgers today. Here's your pitching matchup, and it's brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers changing lives. D-backs and the Dodgers tonight. Clayton Kershaw versus Zach Gallen, the matchup tonight, Gambo.
Yeah, this is a good matchup between, two aces, two solid pitchers. Gallen has allowed three or more runs to the opposition in 10 of his 19 starts this year. So he's made one start against the Dodgers this year. He limited him to two runs over six innings. He had eight strikeouts in a D-backs win.
Yeah.
So he did pitch very well against them the one time he pitched against them this year.
The MLB standings brought to you by PNC Bank, financial tools and tech to help make things easier. The Giants continue to lead the division, a 2.5-game lead over the LA Dodgers. The Diamondbacks, a game behind the Baltimore Orioles for the worst record in Major League Baseball. The Orioles currently have the worst record in Major League Baseball. Tonight's game coming up. We got a key for you.
Listen, man, I'm huge. He's the key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs keys to the game, brought to you by Sell2Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to Sell2Sands.com today.
I'm going to go with Seth Beer. He's 4-for-8, and he had his first homer in that three-game set, so Seth Beer will be the key. His power helps the Diamondbacks out quite a bit.
He had a big hit yesterday in the game as well.
Four for eight.
Yeah.
I was going to go Pujols. He's actually killing the Diamondbacks this year, Albert Pujols, but he's not in the starting lineup today. He's 13-for-34 against them this year.
Wow, that's crazy. Diamondbacks baseball coming up later tonight. We're back tomorrow at straight up 2 o'clock. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.